You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. And the scripture reading today is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you as you join our hearts and minds together now into the Word and to the Spirit, and be the teacher of the things of Christ, that we might be built up in a faith that is holy. We thank you, Father, as you attend to that. We pray that we be set aside and that the hurry and the rush of the day not be a distraction to us. And the things that we learn today, Father, might challenge us so that we are made curious this week to go study the Scriptures. We be diligent about those things that you bring back to our mind that we need to fortify and remind ourselves of. There may come a chance that we might share that with another. So we pray, Lord, that we be faithful to that. We thank you, Father, for the grace you've given us. We thank you for the mercy that we experience day in and day out. And your mercies are everlasting. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for your watching us over our assembly, our folks. We thank you for the blessing of the responsibility of the word rightly divided. And we'd be good stewards of that administration. So we thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Well, we've kind of been hung up in this idea for the last few weeks that there is a walk that we're supposed to have, and that walk is in good works, which God before ordained we should walk in. I always like that because you think of somebody who's been ordained and it's always some kind of organized religion. And as far as I'm concerned, that's probably about as worth as much as the paper that it's printed on. I think the ordination that's most important is what God has ordained in your life, and you are an ordained saint. And God's calling you to be faithful to that. And we've been looking at that. Last week we looked at the talents. We looked at the 10 talents, or the 5 talents and the 1 talent, and we looked at the responsibility that God's given to people. You remember how much a talent was? 6,000 denarii. And that guy got 10 of them, and remember, that's a lot of money. A lot of responsibility. There's another story about a pound. And a pound is only a mina, or a one-day wage. But the same principles applied. You've got to be good and faithful before you get well done. And God's called us to do that. We know that God has taken care of our salvation, but our reward is to be determined. And what we do here in the flesh, whether good or bad, we will one day, and this is another thing we looked at, appear before the Bema Seat of Christ to give an accounting. To give an accounting. And it's going to be interesting. I think in that day, I think there'll be a lot of tears in people's eyes because they have not been faithful to the calling that God has given them. We're to study. It says it right here. Study to show ourselves approved. I think there'll be a lot of disapproval in how men and women handled the Word of God for today. Today's truth. But I know in that day that all of you will be excited. Okay, all right. I hope in that day all of you will be, maybe, in that day. What are you doing? Huh? Remember? This all started out with our interrogatives. What are you doing? What are you doing is what you are doing. Are you laying up treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt? Or are you laying up treasures in heaven? That's what he's talking about. So we see that here in chapter 4. We see that in the very first verse. Paul, here in the last letter written, he says, I charge you, this is to you, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Two aspects, his appearing and his kingdom. See, Paul ties this together down in verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's his reward. Are you seeking that? Are you being faithful so that that reward has an opportunity to be given to you? I am. He says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his kingdom. No. Kingdom's the other part. This is his appearing. It's epiphaneia. This is not his. See, this kingdom, let's look at this for just a minute. We'll take probably the first half of today and take a look at it. I'll show you how key it is. Go over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Boy, if this isn't kingdom teaching, we need to know. Well, look at verse 1. You know, we've got heavenly Jerusalem. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river there was a tree of life, which bore 12 kinds of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of that tree were for the healing of the nations. Wait a minute, I thought when that millennial time was here that there was no crying and there's no sorrow. But we see, we looked at that last week. We know that that's the day of eternity. This can't be the day of eternity because there's a need for healing. Okay, but verse 12 is what I'm really going to focus on. And he says, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Come back to Timothy. Let's look at that first verse again in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and dead at his appearing, and his kingdom. And his kingdom. There's that time. They will stand before him too. And they will receive for that which they've done. He talks about that all the time. It's not anything new. I mean, if we go back to Matthew, he starts right there in the, go back to Matthew chapter 5. He begins in the Beatitudes, that wonderful picture of the principles of the kingdom when he's here on earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit in verse 3, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5. And notice over in verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. So now we have a degree of a reward, a great reward. It's not for how many churches you build. It's not for how many people you have in your Sunday school class, or how many times you sang in the choir or taught Sunday school, or any of the other good things you've done for everybody to see. Notice verse 11 again. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Boy, you just go up against the establishment. You go up against tradition, and you just lay out that one comment that is contrary to tradition, but is set firmly in the Word of God. It's killed more conversations at a cocktail party than you could imagine. It's made more enemies out of your neighbors, or people at work, or even your good Baptist friends. It's really a challenge. You expect the people who don't believe to revile and persecute you. But the people you expect to believe, the Pharisees and the scribes, to be on board. But who was the greatest opposition that our Lord had when he was here in the flesh? Yeah. So don't think it's that guy that's the drunk down there, or you know, the atheist, the unbeliever. He's just going to scoff. These are the folks that are closest to you. I mean, we'll see that in just a minute, because Jesus said it's your brother and your sister and your mother and your dad. But notice there's a great reward. That's what he's talking about in this kingdom, a great reward. Look over at chapter 5, stay in that chapter, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. You know, now that's not in there. Love your enemies, period. Bless them that curse you is not in there. Do good to them that hate you. That's not in there. That's been put in there. If you've got a companion Bible, I'm going to say, I didn't confirm this, but I know that a long time ago I marked this out because that's what it says. Someone's nodding out there, so I mean, it's as clear as it can be. So let's read it properly. I say unto you, love your enemies, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others do? Do not even the heathen do so? Catch the idea? I mean, thieves even have some kind of code of conduct. They say hi to each other. They salute each other. They greet each other. They love each other. And they say they love each other. If you do that, what difference is there between you and them? You know, the point is that, again, those who persecute you, those who revile you, you're to love them. I didn't say you had to invite them over for dinner. Love's not a blank check. It's willy-nilly. It's not willy-nilly. It's discriminatory. It's with judgment. But you should have love. I don't care how eloquent you can be. He said, if you don't have love, you're nothing more than a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I don't care how much knowledge you have. He said, you can have all the knowledge in the world. You can have all the faith in the world. You can have all those doctrinal principles in the world. But if you don't have love, you're nothing. He said, and I don't care how much you have that you can give away and be as generous as the next, as the richest man on the earth. You can do that and be philanthropic to the point that they raise big monuments and statues and name your name for a while. But if you have love, if you don't have love, it's nothing. We're supposed to love them. But see, that's where the world begins to intermingle with God's definition. We kind of think that love should be, well, I know that dog bit me last week, but I'm going to go pet him again. You're going to get bit again. That's stupid. You know? Slap yourself on the forehead. Why did I do that? Okay, so we see in the kingdom that there is a reward. And that's what we're looking at. Go over to chapter 6, verse 1. Oh, we're there. He says, take heed that you do your alms before, that you do not your alms before men to be seen by them. Alms are just like righteous acts, good things, you know. And you probably could think of several of them. He deals here with alms, he deals here with prayer, and he deals with fasting. We don't have to look at all of them, but here's the alms, the righteous acts that you do. He says, take heed that you do not your righteous acts before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, righteous acts, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. See, that we need to be sober about this. What is more important? Having that reward that the earth, the world gives, or having that reward or that treasure that's laid up in heaven? He says there in verse 3, but when thou dost thy righteous acts, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does. Now, that's a real challenge. Figure that out. I don't even know how to... If you really want to get serious about it, just start studying the Scriptures and see what he's talking about. Go read 1 Samuel. Read 2 Samuel. Learn about David. Learn about Saul. All of those stories will in one way or another begin to open up some of these tough questions. I don't know how the left hand doesn't know what the right hand does, but I know this, that if as a man of God is involved in the work of God, his right hand doesn't know what his left hand is doing. And God gets the glory for that. He's not sitting there pounding on his or blowing his horn. Same thing about verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and at the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Do you want to enjoy that reward, or do you want the reward that God has in heaven? So that's what he's telling. It's not just prayer. It's over in verse 16, when you fast. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. Don't have a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But verse 17, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, there's not a great reward there. There was a great reward for persecution and being reviled, but there is a reward here for doing things the way God has said, let's do them. Go over to chapter 10. We're still just looking at kingdom. You know, this is a principle that God has throughout all of his administrations. We get a picture of it as we study it and we look at it and we follow what he has to say in chapter 10. Look at verse 41. Back up to verse 40. He that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. We know who that is. God, the Father. Verse 41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So we had a great reward. We had a reward, now we've got a prophet's reward, and we have a righteous man's reward. So we see that there are varying degrees of rewards. But what's fascinating is, let's look at how this kind of comes about in this passage, because there's an interesting connection here. Back up with me to verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It's enough for the disciple that he be like his master and the servant like his Lord. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hidden that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, speak in light, and what you hear in the ear, proclaim upon the housetops. And fear not them who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, John the Baptist took this to heart, and he didn't care whose toes he stepped on, and he didn't care if the truth upset anybody. He spoke the truth, and it cost him his head. And all the disciples, except the one who gave up his position, all of them, all of God's martyrs, it cost them. We can just go right back to Hebrews, to the chapter of faith, and we could look at all of them. And God says there is a better thing waiting for them. A better thing waiting for them. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You know, I just love that thought. I really do. I love waking up in the morning, and I love that little song, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Thank You, Lord, for Making Me Whole. Those thoughts just take me right away from, you know, that little ache or that little, and I don't mean that ache in my knee or that ache in my shoulder. I mean that ache that sometimes is in my heart. Just takes me right away from it. Why? Because I know God, who knows every hair on my head, knows what's going on in my life. I digress there. I'm sorry. Fear not, therefore, you are more value than a sparrow. I love that thought. Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and daughter, and against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. What? Where's love? Speaking the truth in love. Remember that? Ephesians chapter 4. Speaking the truth in love. That is love. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me, and he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, there is a blessing here. There's a blessing now. Don't think that there's not. It's not all just dark gray skies and high roads, steep roads. It's not that at all. And in fact, once you focus on Him, it's just like the clouds just move away, and the sky and the sun open up, and the sun shines, and it's just, it's like this huge burden just gets removed from your back. But there's a reward. Verse 40, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me not, he that receives me receives him that sent me. And he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So we see varying degrees. There's rewards. There's rewards for those who make gold and silver and precious stones and wood and hay and stubble. There's all kinds of rewards out there. It's just a lot of variation in rewards. It's all based on, well, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is part of that passage we've looked at where we looked at, take heed how you build. Paul says, I'm a wise master builder, and we're supposed to be building on Paul. Because he's the I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. I don't remember if we read this. I don't think we did. I think we started verse 10. But verse 8 says, He that plants and he that waters are one. But they're two different activities. They're two different responsibilities. But they're one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that we've got a responsibility here today in the flesh in what we're doing. It's not just going around praising God and giving glory to God. It's good works which He before ordained we should walk in. Good works. Go back to Matthew chapter 19. Kind of frightening what he said earlier. He said, he who denies me before men, I'll deny him before my Father. There's a corollary to that over in our prison epistles we'll look at. We won't get to today, but we will look at as we go through this study of rewards and crowns and the prize and what's before us. In 19, Peter, verse 27. You know, they've just met with a young ruler and he said, well, I've done all this stuff. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, do this, do that. And he says, I've done it all. And he says, well, then take all you have, go sell it. And he goes, oh, I can't do that. And Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. He who shall lose his life for my sake shall gain it, or find it. Verse 27, Peter answered and said unto him, wait a minute. Haven't we forsaken all and followed thee? Well, we have. What are you going to give us? Jesus said, verily I say unto you, who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little things. You'll be given much. But to him who has not, what he has will be taken away and given to those that have. There is this responsibility to be faithful to the calling that God has given to you. And notice here we see, what reward do we see? We see reigning with him. Reigning with him. Sitting on the throne, reigning with him. Not like the PC and the Mac commercial where the PC guy sits on the throne and he gets trumped by the Mac and he goes, I banish you. I banish you now out of the kingdom. No. Oh. If you're familiar with that. Sitting on 12 thrones. Now, Judas lost his, so it is a reward, but it's a reward that you can lose because Judas lost his. Matthias gained it. Judas was here. Devil was working on him. Okay. Come on back to Timothy. John, in his second epistle, in the verse, 8th verse, he says, watch out so that you have a full reward. Full reward. Verse 1, we see there's a judge. We see it's a time at his appearing and his kingdom. We just looked at a lot of the kingdom stuff. But what's the appearing stuff? Well, Paul told us there in verse 7, he says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Now, that's interesting, we're going to get to that, but that'll be in about 5 minutes. Let us first look at what is it we're supposed to do. He tells us, verse 2, he says, preach the word, be diligent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And that's it. At least for this passage. There's other things. But here he says, preach the word. How can you tell anybody else about it if you don't know it? And look like a fool. If you start trying to ad lib and make up, doesn't connect. The dots don't follow. Preach the word, though. Preach the word. How can you preach the word if you don't know it? If you don't study this book, and haven't we been talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks? Months and months, you've got to spend time reading the Bible. You do. You do. Or else you'll fall for 30 pieces of silver and lose a reward. Preach the word. Be diligent. That's this word study. That's that word study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Well, I tell you, when you reprove, people don't like it. When you rebuke, people don't like it. You got folks out there today that are saying, Lord can come back at any moment. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You ever challenged them? You let them get by with that? Saw what his word teaches at the time that it was taught, that was right. But things have changed. Right? Hasn't it? Acts 28:28. Things have changed. We know what the next event is. God tells us, truly, Elijah shall first come. It's not the rapture and the tribulation and millennial reign. It's Elijah first. Already been here. No. Yeah, he's John the Baptist. No. John says, I'm not Elijah. So there's lots of situations. That's just one. There's lots of situations. I've been there, bit my tongue, didn't say a word. Sometimes that's probably been good. Yeah. Not just close down the conversation at the cocktail party, but close the whole party down. Bite your tongue. But there you have it. Preach the word. Study in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why wouldn't anybody want to have good, sound, healthy doctrine? It puts the whole picture together. I can't tell you the number of people who begin to understand the word rightly divided who say, you know, it just puts the whole picture together. When I was in that other thing, I couldn't understand why we didn't cast out demons or handle snakes, or how come we weren't wealthy or healthy or wise, or why didn't all that other stuff apply? How come we didn't do it and others said they did, but these are supposed to follow those who believe, and it just got so, you know, where's the tithing? Why do I have to give? It just goes on and on. A baptism, you know, there's a baptistry up there, and I just don't feel like, I've seen so many people do that and do it and do it and do it and never change the thing. Teach sound doctrine. Why? When they hear it, it's like this 100-piece puzzle, 1,000-piece puzzle. You ever try to put a 1,000-piece puzzle together? Just all comes together. Just go, wow. Makes sense now. Now I'll tell you why. It says right there, because they, after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Yeah. This isn't Al Capone or the modern day Al Capone, or, you know, it's not the guy down there that's blaspheming God and running the crooked business and could care less. It's not him at all. These are the people who name the name of Christ. They will heap to themselves after their own lust teachers because they have itchy ears. I don't want to hear that stuff. Elijah. No, it's true. It says it in the Scripture. Come on, I'll show you. Nah, I don't have time for that. They'll turn their ears, verse 4, from the truth, and they'll be turned into fables. I am healed. My child is healed. And it doesn't happen. Fables. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Now there's another one. Verse 2 and verse 5. Right for you. You're not 3 and 4. You're 2 and 5. Watch. Thou in all things endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. And Paul says, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. He's fought a good fight. Not a bad fight. Not a nonsense fight. Not a wicked fight. He hadn't been in there stirring them up and trying to create division and strife and things like that. That's not right. But he's fought a good fight. He found the race and he got into it. The good race. And he says, I've ran a good race. That's that word, dikamos. Approved. Approved. You see it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go over there. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And now I'm starting to second guess myself. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24, Know ye not that they who run in a race run all? They all run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I always think of Stephen Stephen didn't back down. He was able to preach the word, and he told them the whole history of Israel until it got to the Messiah, and they stoned him. He ran, or he fought a good fight. His word means, his name, Stephen, Stephanus, it's the word for crown. I mean, it means a crown. Every man, verse 25, that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things that they do it to obtain a corruptible, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run not as uncertain, so fight I not as one that beats the air. I keep my keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be ad dicamus. Not dicamus, but ad dicamus, not approved, cast away. You know, the only time that word appears in the prison epistles is right here. See it? See it right there? That you may be dicamus, approved. Rightly dividing the word. Come on back to Timothy. He says, not only did I fight a good fight, I finished my course. I didn't quit in the middle. I didn't give up. Paul gets to the very end and he says, Timothy, be this known unto you that all those in Asia have left me. Over 3 years he spent in Ephesus and the word went out through all of Asia. Paul was on the lips of everybody. And now everybody's turned against him. All of them have left him. You talk about a lonely man. Look at what he says there in verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Oh, he had some friends here and there, but there was one man there, Luke. You talk about a guy who had been at the top. But he was fighting the good fight. He was reproving. He was rebuking. He was exhorting in doctrine and ready to back it up. He could preach the word. That doesn't mean standing up here in a pulpit. That means just sitting at a dinette table over a cup of coffee and opening up the book. And not only did he say, I finished my course, but I've kept the faith. He was faithful. Faithful to the end. Faithful to the thing God had called him to. He knew what it was. He was faithful in all that God gave him to be faithful to. So at the end, it was well done. Thou good and faithful servant. We looked at this last week. I had a couple other things I wanted to talk about today. I didn't get around to them. I want to talk about the Black Sox scandal of the White Sox in 1919, since Natty Reds won that World Series. The White Sox had all colluded. I want to talk about the Nobel Peace Prize, had some of these things, the rewards here on the earth that people win or people lose. I don't have time to go into all that. But we looked last week, the believers in Ephesus. When Paul wrote that letter to Ephesians, he said, to the saints and to the faithful. There are saints. No man can take that away from you. God's done that. He's given you salvation. He's given you eternal life in Christ. And He's given you the righteousness of Christ. He who knew no sin became sin so I might have His righteousness. Those things are never going to be taken away from you. They're a free gift, but a reward. And what we're looking at, the reward, is going to be based on what you're doing and not just do-do. Not just what you're doing. My dad always said there's four things that you fire on in life, like a four-cylinder machine. It was always funny because the first three he always summed up kind of like this. He said he had this motto in life before he became saved. He said, it's not what you've done or what you're going to do, it's what you do that counts. But later on he found out it's a fourth thing. It's the four things are, one, you operate based on who you are. What kind of genetic background you have. If you're tall or short, if you got blue eyes or brown eyes, or if you've got blonde hair, or if you've got brunette hair, or if you've got speed, or you've got flat feet. Just who you are. The second thing is where you've been placed, your society, your social upbringing, You always, you know, that second piston fires off of what school you go to, what church, what neighborhood, what side of the tracks, what country. The third thing is what you do with it. But it's still incomplete without the fourth one. And that fourth cylinder needs to fire. You got to fire on all four cylinders. It's what God can do in you and through you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you as you blessed us with the word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge. Recognize there is a reward ahead and we need to be diligent. We thank you for the calling, responsibility, and the stewardship that's required of a steward to be faithful. So may the challenge begin right here with me. We thank you for this grace in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.